Welcome back to HealthLink On Air. Linda Cohen along with my producer, Steve Marks. And once again, our resident researcher and psychologist, Dr. Rich O'Neill, has joined us. And
good morning.
How are you both?
We're doing great.
And for this week's checkup from the neck up, we're going to answer some listener question, right?
Great. Yep.
So, Rich, I'm going to read it to you.
Yep.
And listeners, if you have a question for Dr. Rich in the next several weeks, just write to him at hloa@upstate.edu, and we'll try to put yours on the air next time. So here's the question. My sons are teenagers, and the oldest wants nothing to do with his younger brother. I always hoped that they would grow up, be close growing up. That doesn't seem to be happening. Instead, they argue and fight. What can I do to foster a better relationship between them? I'm afraid my husband and I haven't modeled healthy sibling relationships. My brother lives far away, and so our interactions aren't that visible to my children, and my husband does not have good relationships with his sibs.
Mm-hmm. The old family dynamics question, Rich.
Well, let's take the first question first, you know. Whenever there's something going on in a family, the first thing you want to do is, between a pair in the family, you want to ask, is there something going on in the family as a whole that's problematic? Okay, so that would be the first place I'd go. So if I'm responding to, it sounds like this mother here, I'd say, well, let's just take a minute and look at how are things going between you and your husband? How are things going between you and the extended family? I know she mentioned some of that. We'll talk a little bit more about that later, maybe. But so to see, is there any problem in the bigger picture that the kids might be responding to emotionally and acting in response to that?
Right. The first thing that pops into my head when I look at that situation is I think, are the parents treating one or the other of the kids differentially? In other words, is there favoritism going on that really can spark a whole issue of competition?
Resentment or something like that.
Yeah, that's possible. I'd like to back it up a little bit first, though, and say, how are things going between mom and dad?
Right.
Are mom and dad doing okay? And if the answer to that is no, then they should probably go figure out how to do a little better. Again, we can talk a little bit about that. The second thing is, though, let's assume everything's going okay in the family in general between mom and dad. It's normal for teenagers to fight.
I'm glad to hear you say
that. They argue with each other, you know. What's their job?
Yeah.
Their job is to become an independent human being, separate and different from their brothers and sisters and everybody else in the universe, and their parents, goodness knows. So they have that job. Now, one of the ways people express their differences is they fight. So, first off, not to worry if it's not a reflection of some bigger issue in the family. It's just the normal arguing and fighting that siblings do. How do you change that in the positive direction? Well, one way to do that is the writer alludes to modeling how to manage differences. That one thing you could do is, you know, you can, if you're, a very good thing to do is have dinner together. You know, a lot of families don't. And it actually, there's research that shows having dinner together is good for everybody in the family and the kids. So you can do that. And in the family dinners, you can manage differences. You could model that with your spouse, with the person's spouse here. And you could say, you know, you could bring in some kind of difference you have about, you know, some approach to something in your life. And say, well, here's what I think about that. And then, instead of immediately disagreeing, you can do what we call yes and. Require yourself to find three ways that you agree with the other person and articulate those before you bring in your difference. So you're modeling, I'm listening to you, I'm hearing what you have to say, I respect your point of view enough to really find how I agree with you. And then once you do that, you bring in three ways. Oftentimes your difference disappears in the process. But then you can bring in your difference. And the other person does the same thing in return. So they say, oh, I'm hearing what you're saying is dot, dot, dot. And here's how I agree with you, and, you know, I have a little bit of a difference still, or actually I'm finding myself coming to agree with you. So that way of finding common ground in conversation may be very useful for the whole family.
I think it sounds great, and yeah. I think I did it in my family kind of that way, but a little different. I always use the word cooperate.
Yeah.
I mean, I think with my kids, even in terms of getting them to do things for me and with me, I always said, let's just cooperate. Let's work together.
You know, and I think, you know, modeling that kind of behavior and that fostering that atmosphere of cooperation and respect is really, really important. But I think from my experience with having three teenagers at the same time, what I would say to this mom is be patient.
Yes.
Because it changes.
Absolutely.
There's sometimes two of them were so close, all, you know, inseparable. And then a year later, you'd think they weren't even in the same family. You know, they would say, we walk by each other in school and we don't even acknowledge that he's my brother or whatever. Yeah. And then, you know, in their early 20s, they're all of a sudden they're inseparable. They're talking all the time. So it really does change.
Totally
hey, one gets a girlfriend and then he doesn't really want to hang around with his brother anymore.
Right. It's what we call developmental stages in life. Yeah. So the developmental stage here is to separate. And then, like this mom says, I'm afraid they won't be close growing up. I always wanted that. Well, that's actually a negative prediction. When the phase of development changes, they're likely to change like you found in your own life, Steve. They're likely to change over time themselves.
And as parents, we really want them to be close.
Right.
But that's our dream.
Yeah.
That's our vision of how we want them to relate to each other. And as you mentioned at the very beginning of this, they're individuals.
Yeah, and I want to just build on that because Linda said, you know, what if you're favoring one or the other? Well, you don't want to do that. Don't do that. Instead, support each one of them with a lot of energy to be themselves, to feel like I am unique, I am wonderful. You love me just as much as you love my brother and sister, you know. So, and then catch them. This is the key for parenting a lot. Catch them being nice. Whenever they are, in fact, doing something cooperatively.
Like a random act of kindness.
Go in there and, you know, oh, how nice you guys are working together, you know.
Right.
You don't make a big Megilla out of it because they'll smell it. You know, teenage smell. Catch them being nice. Don't force them to do things together. Instead, find things, common interests that the whole family can do together. Everybody can have their space and enjoy things.
That's great.
I think that's fantastic. And I think that really we all have a lot to learn from that in terms of human interaction in general.
Mm-hmm.
Respect for differences, cooperation, and treating each other with dignity.
Right.
What a nice agree there. Yes, I agree with you there, Linda.
Thanks so much for coming in again.